Say that again. I was sleeping.
Well, I'll say that again. This is April the 13th, 1997, Sunday. And we're gathered for a meeting with the commander and David Icke. We're going to pause for a few seconds now while everybody clears their space.
The article's here. In the light. Basically open for interrogation. David has a few questions, probably. It's time that we did do a little more interchange so that you can understand a little bit better what we're dealing. I'm having a little trouble with her because she promised to come over here, but she thought she was going to get to sit down there and listen. David, on the other hand, is about talked out. And one might always ask him, why do you bother? Why do you waste your time? You travel all over trying to sort these things out, talk to knuckleheads that won't listen, and usually treat it very much like an ongoing series of what's new with soap opera. It's an interesting time. I would like to share with him that it's going to be some of his own countrymen that are going to allow us to be able to accomplish, especially in the funding line of some of the industry and projects that will be coming along. And when I talk about his countrymen, that includes everything from New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and England. The British Crown has basically ruled the world. And you guys never understood from the War of 1812, you've been trying desperately to get back under the auspices of the crown, and you've made it. You've done it. You have your admiralty courts. We're dealing now with trying to bring a little common law, common sense within the judiciary system. And we have the biggest problem getting past our own people. What is this quarreling? We have a law center. If it isn't going to be a law center, then what are we doing? I am getting my own ears tweaked. What kind of a battle do I have going? I have no battle going. But it's been a long, hard several years of just trying to survive. And it always offends me when ones come and say, but I have given 4-6 years to this. Given? Some instances, perhaps, the word is given. In that instance, it is not. And if you'll forgive me, David, I have to speak on some business matters so that ones know what to expect. We are in a 1-2-3 quick mode. I would like a meeting here by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. To discuss some legal things that need and must be discussed. Now, ones can avoid, I call it hiding. Perhaps, you know, the English language is interesting. If I call a spade a shovel, I don't necessarily have to put adjectives in front of it. But I'm getting pretty tired of what I get fed back to me. I would say that we have been through some pretty traumatic times lately. Structured, set up, and orchestrated, and completed by your most local, functional, and outspoken critics and adversaries. I want to know how any of you expect to get any information to move forward if you don't confront these people, interrelate with these with the press and the media. What turned out to be an absolute cherry or lemon pie, in Ed Young's vernacular, started out as the pits, I'm telling you. And yet, unless you're willing to participate, unless you're willing to confront this, they can say anything about you they want to. And yet, what they have done is hang themselves with the golden cord. And I consider that good. But now our lawyers don't know anything about it, so we've got to write the case. And I need to talk about it tomorrow morning because I'm really, really pleased, Ray. Your writings are excellent. We're getting there. And we don't have to go to war with the government. That's a stupid thing to do. The only thing that we are about is revealing information. And you can take it or leave it. And that's what David is about, information. And he will find some interesting people in this very room that he needs to spend a little time with in one way or another. And if Boko gets here, I have been disciplined about interrelationships, my God, with the Black Panthers. How dare you? Well, I want to know who decided black is better than white or worse than white. Really got my ears trimmed because of that association. You people are going to stop this garbage, or you're just going to go right on down that decline. You look at your video boxes, and you saw what happened. You saw Ents and Shadow. You saw them stand in San Diego while they talked about here in Tehachapi, so that you couldn't tell. So that if anybody came in this room, it would look like you have assigned television seats. Well, I find it interesting that you don't even have a television hooked to a cable. So, undoubtedly, your programs are selected. But I also find the one who was doing and called the meeting made these cushions with your names on them. So that's up to you what you do with them. But I would like a meeting in the morning, EJ. David, do we want to talk about aliens, strangers, frequencies, vibrations, hail bop? What do you want to talk about? I want to know what you've been doing since you were here.
I got a microphone on. If I can hear me, I hold that.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Well, I've just been traveling, and traveling with my eyes open, and traveling with my ears open. And when you do that, you start to realize that what we're looking at here is a global phenomenon, in both positive and negative ways. First of all, whichever country I go into, and I guess over the last 6 months or so, I must have spoken in six or seven. Australia, New Zealand, and European countries and what have you, and Canada. Three things are happening everywhere. One, the same problems are being manufactured into place. Two, the same solutions are being offered to them, leading to the same outcome. And three, there is demonstrably a spiritual revolution going on, a spiritual awakening going on everywhere in the world. But this spiritual revolution so often is somewhere just below the ceiling, and it's not seeking, largely through fear, I think, to ground these spiritual values in the three-dimensional world. And people have got loud hooters wherever I go.
Yep,
it's really
right.
Strange. but what I mean by that is that it's all right knowing these things. It's all right being aware of them, and it's all right having spiritual values which you wish to bring into the world to change the way the world is. But so many people are talking about it, and so few people are actually doing it where it, you know, it challenges us. And let's just wait till that finishes, shall we?
Barnum. Sounds like Barnum.
And when my car's not looking, I say boo very loudly at it, you know. And my car gets alarmed, you know. Are we stuck with that or not?
No, here. No. It just happens to be the only man on crutches.
All right.
Is it because he honked that horn before?
Actually, I've got to tell you, I'm really kind of excited today. I've never addressed a cult before. I'm really disappointed I'm not staying in the compound tonight, you know. I was really, really sad about that, you know.
Well, we offered him a palatial room.
Do you know, I reckon there's a factory in the Nevada desert, you know, and it's turning out people in perfectly pressed suits, sharp ties, and hairstyles without, and hair out of place, with peas for a brain. And then what they do is they front them up for the news programs of America and my country and send them out doing stories, you know. When I watched that and it finished, I thought, what was that trying to tell me? I can't work it out, you know. I love the guy in the funny hat doing cowboy impressions. He was great, whoever he was. We've cracked it.
Well, we really feel a little bad about him. He just had gotten fired from his other job for thievery.
Well, as I was saying before we got alarmed, I feel it's time now just to stop talking about this and start getting really active. And so often I find in this whole area of research and revelation, on one side you've got people who are stuck in the three-dimensional world alone, who are doing the names, dates, facts, organizations, goals, method stuff, which needs doing, big time it needs doing. But at the same time, they are stuck in the same energy and the same attitudes which they say they're challenging. They're into fear, they're into anger, they're into frustration, and into blame all the time. And then on the other side, you've got so much of the awakening spirituality that's, you know, while you're up there, could you please, you know, just dust the ceiling, you know. People called Solara Starchild and stuff like that, you know. And I do think that spirituality, if it's not grounded in this world, is a form of escapism. Just like drugs and just like alcohol, it's a reason to get out of this world instead of facing it. And what I feel desperately needed at this time is the spiritual to get streetwise and the streetwise to get spiritual and bring those two things into balance. And if we do that, then we can start bringing this house of cards down, because it is just a house of cards. If we think that it's powerful, then we're giving our power to it. It is not powerful. The power used to control the human race is the power that human race gives away day after day after day. And this is why I think it's so important that when these challenges come, like this week, that we don't go on the defensive and start apologizing for ourselves, because we've got nothing to apologize for. And if we just keep speaking our truth and walking our truth, eventually you walk through this stuff. You know, how much of this stuff we take on, how much it gets to us and how much it dispirits us and how much it frightens us, it's just a choice. That's all it is. And we can choose just to say, as one of the chapters in my new book says, piece of shit, walk away. Get on with it. And not apologize for what's going on and what we believe and stuff like that. But actually just keep speaking our truth. And eventually you go through these challenges. If we get pulled in to trying to justify our existence, oh my God, don't call me this, don't call me that, we're actually playing away from home on the very playing field that they wish us to play on. We keep walking truth, talking truth, then we're going to get there. And we're going to get there quicker than we think if we're prepared not just to talk about it, but to live it and to be it with every fiber of our being, because that's the only way we're going to make it there.
Well, these gentlemen, you know, came out ready to chew crow. Us. They went away very humble. I did not have any problems at all, and I chewed their ears right to the scalp for 2 hours. You see, you're absolutely right, David. We don't care what all of those out there think, because we aren't anything here. We don't represent anything here except responsible individuals trying to make a goodly difference. And I don't like even to use the term goodly anymore because I don't like adverbs used in any of our legal statements, and every one seems to be a legal statement. I am with the hosts of God, and I don't care whether you like it or you don't. Obviously, you do, or you wouldn't bother to be here. Because certainly, we don't offer you more than a bunch of calories in a long afternoon, usually. And you can't even depend on that, the long afternoon. Because we have nothing regular. We have no membership. But if nobody takes responsibility, then nothing is to be changed because nobody even knows what to begin to look at to change. And ones will say, and we will call the man Phil because that was his name, and we'll call the other one Mark because that was his name. And they were dying before they left here. This can't be. And many of you were here to witness this while this young man, as you say, with the pea brain, sits there doing this questioning, and finally about the third time he asked, but what is truth? And then when he was supposed to do it again, he said, I can't do this. And Mark only wants to come back so he can learn about the cell of life, Drea. Well, that means we're going to have to tell him the story of the birds and the bees, the Dreas and the Drills, aren't we? And it's great, great. Bless you, son. It's a great time we're having. And one say, well, how do we know it is you? Well, if you know her, you know this is me. But if you don't know her, listen to the words. And whether she says them, David says them, did he or did he not sound exactly like me except for his accent? Exactly. He might as well have plagiarized my writing. I plagiarized his. And you're not going to be able to take this so damn seriously, personally, that you can't move outside that ego and look at yourself. You are the center of only your little universe. And you know what? You aren't even the center of it. You just think you are. So let's put it where it's at. I come with the host of God. That almost wipes out everything else that you can say about the cosmic travelers. They will dump stuff on you like vultures from outer space. Now you've got a new one. These aliens that are now coming to invade and attack have fangs like, vipers of some kind. Only they've got 900 of them rather than the two big fangs. And they fly, but they look like weird oversized insects and this sort of thing. Do you really think God in heaven, creation, creator, is sending those things on you? You better get with it because there aren't any of those things where I come from. And if you conjure these things, you're going to turn them into some kind of a reality. And that reality will eat you alive. Because the time is at hand for you to be terrified of everything. The panic button is on full blast. Now, where in the world can you lose a $9 million nuclear warhead armed four missiles on that plane, nuclear armed, and you want to know how you can know? They're saying Mr. Buttons was sort of despondent, this captain who was flying that plane, because why? His folks had joined the Christian Science Church or the Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that. Now, isn't that enough to make you steal a $9 million airplane? Has anybody else heard about the big explosion outside Vail, Colorado? And where was this plane circling? Where could it get fuel? It's a big honker. It does take a lot of fuel. And after he would have run out of fuel, he was still circling. Now, they were launching the same types of missiles from White Sands to go study Hale Bopp, which is nothing but a light show. So where might all of these things be harbored? This is a time of a real standoff, people. They want to see how much of this garbage they can stuff down your gullets. And I tried to give these gentlemen the other day enough information to make them go, and I'm sure it worked. I'm sure that those tapes have been gone over by the highest level intelligence officers in your nation. On both sides. You know, the good guys and the bad guys. I don't have anything to hide from them. I have a lot of agreements with them that they're going to keep, whether they want to do that or not. And there are going to be some people, individuals, they are going to leave alone whether they like that or don't like it. And they can play with their light shows until hell freezes, as far as I'm concerned. And if you people are idiotic enough to swallow it all, even to the cult that kills itself in San Diego, but we've got to tear that place down before any evidence is discovered. Now, anybody want to tell me what happens when you put a thin plastic sack over somebody's head?
Suffocate.
How? Don't you think maybe that shrink would just shrink wrap to those orifices that are causing the vacuum in there? Funny thing happened at that forum. Here are these nice inflated baggies over the two remaining ones. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to even care what was in those syringes. They didn't say they took phenobarbital in a syringe, did they? They mixed it with applesauce and what, pudding? Doesn't that sound great? Chased with vodka? Oh. And nobody told you what was in those syringes, did they? Well, guess what Delta Force, the ones who wipe out places like Jonestown, Guyana, guess what they use in their syringes? They use castor bean extract. Because you can't trace it in the blood system. And let me guarantee you that when a thin plastic sheet is put over, a dying person is going to gasp for air. They are going to suck in very, very strenuously, and that will adhere to the orifice. So you have murder, don't you? Premeditated murder. Now you can expect that, and David's absolutely right, all around the nation. Now, will they be suicides, truly, or are they going to set up different groups for murder? Well, you're safe here, kids, because no matter how hard they try, they only run into me. And Mr. Bush, for instance, knows me well. I gave him one opportunity to get out of this clean. And he chose not to. Now he is having to peddle like gangbusters to retrieve some of the stuff he stole before his enemies get it. They really have done some stupid things, this bunch of Barrick gold diggers and BRIEX false fronts. David, would you like to understand that they literally salted one of those gold mines in, you know, one of the Busang mines? This is how stupid they are. Your hierarchy, your elitists, cleaning up all the gold mines of the world, just suck them in, have Zaire completely torn up because of the diamond mine there, and they're just killing off those people periodically, daily, and they just can't seem to get humanitarian aid in there for, you know, another week or 10 days. Well, if you're already on deathbed, and then some smart aleck comedian says, well, look at all the flies there. Why don't they just eat the flies and they'd all be well fed? Now, he thought that was really funny. Now, that's one of your Khazarian comedians. You know, can get away with anything. You were promised, and it doesn't matter what kind of God you believe in. You see, the judge down south that has the Ten Commandments hanging on his wall, what are the Ten Commandments other than a moral code of ethics? Oh, but you cannot have bigotry in the courtroom. Oh, can't you? I thought the point was in ever getting it out of there. So we're going to have a federal standoff with this judge who has the Ten Commandments on his wall. And so they go one by one by one. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt and shalt and shalt. Okay, get all the way down to the last one, and this is the one they base it on. Well, what if you don't believe in God? Well, if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in the law, and you don't believe in moral justice. So what are we talking about here? Was this nation or any nation in the world birthed as a recognizing entity of a creator, a God of some kind? Well, but yes, but you can't tell the people, for instance, now get this one, who read the Quran, that they have to believe in that God of the Bible. Well, are they stupid? There's only one God. Either way, there's only one God. And these people of the Quran recognize that one God and honor him, it, she, her, whatever. This is how far you've gone when you can have a major federal confrontation over a set of Ten Commandments hanging on a judge's wall. And he likes to offer a prayer that maybe he can do something with justice during his sitting time that day. Well, I certainly have experienced you guys going up against some judges. I wish would pray for a little justice, a little insight. Well, unfortunately, they're getting insight, aren't they? And they're so busy with their band-aids covering up each other's assets that it's just interesting. I wonder how many of you in here realize that the writ against Judge Chapin in the property case is denied. I should have asked E.J. to bring Mr. Horn's letter to Mr. Ellie stating why he thought this should be dismissed with prejudice so you can't ever go back against anybody. And after all, the Eckers wouldn't have anything to say. They can't say. What are they going to do? Say they were down there on the 24th of May, 1988? That is all the judge will allow them to say. And Mr. Horn has already spilled the beans. Now, I don't know what's the matter with you guys. And this includes E.J. and Dorma. What in the hell is the matter with you? The only way that you can avoid signing off with prejudice just so you can stay alive out of the deal and live to fight another day is to sign that away. Why? I have been hearing for 6 months, and then the last 3 months, every time something happens, ooh, I wish we had that RICO filed. I wish we had the charges filed. I wish. I want to know why there is not a conspiracy RICO action going right now before there are any agreements signed. Now, I'm happy for anyone to tell me why. It's very difficult to get lawyers to do anything, isn't it? You are no closer to a settlement in any case, including the Texas case, than you were when you started 5 years ago, or in this instance, 9 years ago. Is that what they work for? You better well believe it. Retirement programs. For them, certainly not for you. You can go to the poorhouse or death house or whatever you can hang on to. Rick has a good case going, and you ought to talk to him about it because this one's really interesting. In the federal district court in Fresno, they sent down some guidelines. And Rick does this a lot better than I do, but we were going to have Mr. Dixon sit in, you know, in the inner sanctuary, just to sit there at the desk. Oh, well, you can't do that. You have to be an active, approved member of the bar, or you can't even go through that little swinging gate into the judge's chambers. But this is a secret. This is a secret unless you have an ongoing case. And Gene found out that in some of these instances, they mean it. When they were in northern Nevada, this was not the federal court, but it was the local court. And Gene is sitting back where the spectators, you know, you have two or three rows now. Every year, the inner sanctuary gets bigger, you know, for the bar bunch. And back here where you, the people, go, get smaller and smaller and smaller because they don't want anybody in there. And pretty soon they're going to start the strip searches, I'm sure. Well, Gene just reached over the bar, over this barricade, barrister, and handed Ellie a little note. And that judge about lost his cool and just about cited him for contempt of court for putting his hand over into the bar area. That's what you're about these days. And you think we sound silly? We try to watch what you're doing, as absolutely nauseating as it often is. When this last light show, and if you'll forgive me, I'm going to go ahead because these are things that might interest you too. You see, when you have a light, a silver white light, way out there somewhere, and you see it move. It's no falling star. You see it move, or it may move great distances. But you only see a silver white here and then a silver white over here. That is in an atmosphereless vacuum. That is a thought projection, usually movement. But there's nothing out there to stimulate friction to the point of having a glow. And if you were to have a glow, to be that clear white light, you would have to have a white hot glow. So out in the cosmos, you can watch the lights move, and ones often say, well, how can you tell what it is? That's one way you can tell where it is, because if it's out in the cosmos, those are great distances traversed from a long way out. If it is taking place in your within your stratosphere, in your atmosphere, it's going to have an orange tail because it's going to give off particulate. It is going to misplace particles and the friction will heat, and you will have an orange or golden glow. Now, this thing that you've got, and these, quote, unidentified things over Phoenix, did anybody notice how interestingly they handled our program? They were going to do the Phoenix segment, and it turned out to be unidentified flying objects over Phoenix, Arizona. Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think could just sit in the atmosphere without wobbling, moving, jiggling, anything? Has to be light, doesn't it? And it has to have a different source than from its own self to remain totally stationary. But the main thing about those objects are just exactly that. They're simply unidentified objects. And one thing, I should be out there studying those unidentified objects. I'm not interested in them. I thought it was a little bit of an interesting cover, but I wasn't even sure that it was that interesting. Hale Bopp is more interesting. If you have a comet that comes around every 2,400 years, there's going to be history about it. If it's not Herculobus or Wormwood, it's going to have a history anyway. You don't name it Hale Bopp because two amateurs went out in their truck and found this little glow off there somewhere. But look what else they did. When they wanted to blot out whatever they were doing with the sun flare, that was even more outrageous. And they send up you've got four warheads missing and a plane. And then guess what these idiots do? They send up one of those missiles out of White Sands to do what? Take pictures for 6 seconds of Hale Bopp. And they get Hale and Bopp and one of the kids down there to sign the rocket. And the whole world watches in breathtaking awe as this, you know, takes off. It's going to have a 6 second burn, and then it's going to go up there, and it's going to take 6 seconds of pictures, and then miraculously the camera in this cone is going to drift back down to Earth with all of this data. But it never came down, did it? It's all over, isn't it? What about the sun flare? Well, you better be paying attention, because two things were being tampered with that day. One, these magnificent laser pulses that they can send are the same frequency as your radiation belt. And the radiation belt was ignited in at least 15 places in less than 15 minutes. And once that chain reaction gets out of control, you are in serious trouble. It'll take 3 days to burn that radiation belt, and you're going to have a blind world. And everybody can laugh about photon belts and blind things, but you better remember that England, the United States, even Iraq, has laser light weapons that can blind, one weapon can blind an entire oncoming army. And they fully had planned to use that with those oil motes that they were going to set afire. So you've got trouble, people. Now, were they going to send a missile out there to try to explode whatever was coming in? You see, that's the old Star Wars idea. If you can get a meteorite coming in, a comet, anything coming at you, missiles, the old Star Wars idea was to shoot them down. So, what did you have the day of the sun flare? It is going to strike the magnetosphere at 5:10 Pacific time, daylight savings. They know exactly to the split second when it's going to hit. It's of massive size. But guess what? You get down within an hour of it, and it's lesser size than they expected. So they guess maybe they're, we thought it would knock out all the satellites and so forth, but it doesn't look like it'll have any impact at all. It's just going to miss us now, or whatever they're telling you. They can tell you the split second it's going to hit the magnetosphere and bend it, but you will be protected. The worst thing it will do is knock out your electronic gear. Are you crazy? Something's coming through those outer layers, isn't it? If it's going to knock out stuff in your kitchen, if it's going to clean off your computer memories, everybody, when they tell you something like that's going to happen, I assure you, you better go and plug your computers if you want to save your program. Because they are going to have selective ways of being able to take out all information they don't want you to have off your computers. They'll just blow them out. And so the time came and went, and the news people at CNN measure it right down to that split second. See, and say, well, you know, didn't happen. What didn't happen? What didn't happen? Or did they send something out there that neutralized that? Or, quite frankly, did we neutralize it because we don't let nuclear warheads 150 miles outside your atmosphere? Dodos.